Welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast, where we feature high-achieving entrepreneurs and coaches and share their performance journeys. Now, let's get started with the show.
Lance Vantine here, performance coach at Tiger Performance Institute, sitting in for Steve Adams, who is the CEO and founder of Tiger Performance Institute and Tiger Medical Institute. I'm the host for today for the Tiger Performance Podcast, where we talk with entrepreneurs, executives, and professionals about their unique stories and performance journeys. We've had genetic experts, Super Bowl athletes, game-changing health professionals, executives, and amazing entrepreneurs with stories that will inspire you. Okay, it's time to acknowledge our sponsor for today's episode. Our episode sponsor today is Tiger Medical and Performance Institutes. Our focus is on the mid-career high achiever who, at the time they should be at their best, are starting to wear down from the pressure, stress, sleepless nights, and perhaps even burnout. Tiger's unique Decode 2.0 system helps successful leaders complete a transformative medical makeover without the time-consuming and confusing fads or biohacks using our proven and proprietary system. The Tiger system is a personalized, genetic-based approach to anti-aging medicine. Through the integration of doctor care and health coaching, we help successful people regain mental and physical energy and reach a peak state of health today while enabling them to sustain elite performance in health tomorrow, expanding their impact and extending their careers. The Tiger system is transforming lives today and creating better tomorrows. So what are you waiting for? Visit tigerpi.com today to learn more. So our guest today is CJ Finley. As an entrepreneur, adrenaline junkie, athlete, and positive thinker, he finds himself leaving it all on the line to make an impact on the world. To make this impact, CJ hosts the Thrive on Life podcast and partners with early stage startups and small businesses who focus on positive world impact. By helping them with strategy, brand management, and operations, they are able to scale their mission beyond what they once thought achievable. CJ, welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's definitely a pleasure, and I'm very excited for the conversation.
Absolutely, I am as well. And so before we get started, CJ, I guess, could you just tell me a little bit about your family?
Oh, my family. Wow. I mean, I feel like if you ask anybody this question, it's hard to bundle up your family all into a few words. There's a lot that goes on with my family, but if I had to think about one thing that I kind of think about when I was raised was just showing up like every day. Mm-hmm. Hard work was definitely instilled in my household, and showing up no matter what kind of the world was throwing at us was something that I saw every single day. Persistence would be the word for that. And it's one of those things that I strive to kind of go about my life each and every day. But in terms of what my family looks like, it would be my mom, my dad, and my brother. And we grew up in a little town called Burlington, New Jersey. It's about 30 minutes outside of Philadelphia. I now reside in Austin, Texas, and the rest of my family's in Charlotte, North Carolina. So kind of a little bit more long distance now. But one of the things that we enjoy doing is traveling in my dad's RV. We've been taking a couple trips every year now where we'll either go to the Outer Banks, Myrtle Beach. Last summer we went to this place in North Carolina. I forget what it was called, but it's basically up in the mountains, and we basically parked the RV off of a kind of like a waterfall scenario. And okay. It was really cool because I would wake up and hear running water, and you can go out and meditate right on the rocks there on the water. So very outdoorsy family, like to adventure, athletic. Both my brother and I were both like four sport athletes growing up. And yeah, that's pretty much a little bit about it. And there's a lot I could go into in that realm, but I'll leave it up to you for this next part.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fantastic, all the traveling you've done. For those who are, you know, travel junkies on our podcast, what is the best place you've been to that you would recommend?
Austin, Texas, duh. No, that's where I live. It's the only place that I actually, I highly recommend Austin, to be honest, is the one place that I have before I lived here, I went to and really felt like was calling me. And it's pretty peculiar because I love the mountains and I love the beach. And in Austin, you're kind of landlocked. And the reason that I say that I love it here is you have a mix of the people are really friendly, high vibe environment, a lot of things to do year round, ease of access for me to fly. So I can go East Coast to West Coast, 3 hours each way. So if I want to go to the East Coast and visit my friends that I grew up with, it's 3 hours. If I want to go out to the West Coast, it's 3 hours. I love it here, but let's see if there was a spot that I had to pick on my list that I've been to that like just blew my breath away. It would be two places. It would be Road to Hana on Maui in Hawaii. If you take that trip, phenomenal. We actually, my wife and I went there for our honeymoon, and it's like a, we did it in one day. We did an all day trip around Maui, and there's like black sand beaches. You see 20-foot waves, there's waterfalls.
Oh my goodness.
It was awesome. Sunset was amazing. It's like off-road. I was off-roading in a Mustang convertible. It was pretty cool. And then the second place would be Interlaken, Switzerland. So one of the coolest things I've ever done is taken a train up into the Swiss Alps. And it was really interesting there because you see snow everywhere, but it was warm enough for me to have my shirt off. So you're like on a mountain, you're super high elevation. When it's sunny though, it is warm enough where you feel like you can just wear a short sleeve shirt, but there's just snow and mountains everywhere around you. So that was a really cool experience as well, going up into the Alps.
That sounds unbelievable. Yeah, that's on my bucket list, Switzerland. I would love to get out there at some point, but that's awesome.
Highly recommend it.
Tackle it, yeah. So back to your family, you know, you said the one of the main things was perseverance. You learned that. Were your parents as well in the business field, or was that just kind of naturally just instilled in you by the way they just raised you?
So my dad was an engineer, and then my mom just, when my brother and I were born, decided to become a full-time mom until we were of the age of like we could take care of ourselves. And then she went into the schooling system just to help us. Essentially, the lifestyle that we lived was we played a lot of sports. There was a lot going on. So she adapted her schedule around us. So it was really eye-opening to me to see an environment where your parents adapt to the different needs of the family. And my dad was going to work every day as an engineer. And then my mom's job was taking care of us and taking us to sports and making sure we were there on time and getting better and excelling at our own lives. So they both sacrificed in different ways. And they did this over a long period of time. So that's when I say like persistence and perseverance, like no matter what was kind of thrown their way outside, I'm sure there was a lot going on that I didn't see. But what I did see was they were always showing up for us in the way that they needed to, based on the way the world was when I grew up, which was no phones, no internet. Like I'm 31 years old. So it was the last generation where I didn't have a cell phone until I was in high school, or tablets or anything like that. And there was no Google or anything. So it was a very different environment than it is today. But in terms of like business and how I got into that world, my dad has an entrepreneurial spirit. I don't necessarily know that he understands it. Again, because in the world that he grew up in, there wasn't the ease of access of information and overflowing information. There was no Instagram to see like what you could do. There was no internet. So he went the path of, okay, engineering is a great career and he's a really good problem solver. So he went that path. But on the side, he was always like caddying or mowing lawns or doing something for cash. And he taught my brother and I kind of that same type of work ethic and hustle. So growing up, it was like babysitting, mowing lawn, shoveling snow, flipping Pokemon cards. Like it looked like that, yep. But I had no idea that it was called entrepreneurship. I was just, how do I make enough money to ride my bike down to the CVS or 7-Eleven and get snacks? Because my parents weren't going to give me money for that. Or how can I make enough money to buy the cleats that I really want rather than the cleats that my parents are going to get me for my sports? Because when you're younger, you're impressionable and you see your friends have these nice things and you're, oh, I want the nice skateboard or the nice bike as well. My parents did a really good job of saying no and saying, if you want that, you got to work for it. So it kind of taught me, okay, how can I make this cash? And it was interesting because I think when I was younger, the age was like 16 to like start working legally at places. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of my friends started working at like the movie theaters, Burger King. And they would ask me why I didn't have a quote unquote job. And it never dawned on me until later on life that I never had a job because I'd already been saving cash up prior to that. And the other entrepreneurial thing that I think my parents did for me was they, at a very young age, gave my brother and I our own bank accounts so we could see. Mm. And it was pretty cool. We had those, like, what was the bank called? I forget, but they had a booklet. So with nothing was digital. And in the booklet, they would stamp like your either your deposits or your withdrawals. And I remember my little blue booklet and being obsessed with like seeing the deposit number go up and grow and grow and grow. So by the time I was 18, all my friends were getting these different random jobs and I had yet to have a job. And I kind of was pressured to get one at Hollister and I only lasted 3 weeks. And I learned really quickly that I didn't like to be told what to do, especially when it was like menial tasks, like how to fold clothes. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I got to find another way to make cash that is more on my own time and my own dime rather than like showing up, making minimum wage, having taxes taken out from a minimum wage job and just being miserable while I was there. So that was kind of my journey into it. Later on in life, I got my own engineering degree and I got an engineering job and then found a passion for helping other people with their fitness and exercise and nutrition. And once I figured out that, wow, I could do things that I'm passionate about and make money as an adult, just like I did as a kid, I had to quit. So that was the kind of the journey for me.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And that, I feel like that's typically how the entrepreneurial kind of spirit goes, as far as how you find the job that you end up or the business you end up building, is just those previous experiences of knowing, you know, you don't work best with people helicoptering you over everything. There isn't the autonomy to be able to do what it is that you want to do. And then if there's a lack of passion, it's not going to last very long. So that's fantastic that it seems like you found this out at a very early age. And so to your business then, could you kind of paint a picture for our listeners and just tell them more about your business?
Yeah, so this is the toughest question for me to always answer. And I usually start with the end so that you can kind of have an understanding. So my long-term goal is to become an angel investor. And to become an accredited angel investor, technically, you have to have over a sum of $250,000 liquid cash to be able to invest in companies, technically. But I'm a big believer in like, why can't you start right now? So if I'm like, if my long-term goal is to be an investor, and the reason I want to be an investor is I want to invest in young, persistent, passionate people, because that's what I believe changes this world for the better, then why can't I start right now and inspire people to do the same? So what ended up happening in my life to get me to the point of understanding I want to be an angel investor and this is the path that I want to go was I got my corporate job, like a lot of people do. I didn't really have a choice. I had loans coming out of school. So I went, got the job, realized really quickly that I could do more. The whole 8 to 5, 9 to 5, I realized was not fulfilling to me. I wanted to do more. I was used to a schedule when I was an athlete of being up at 6 and then going until 9 at night. So the whole like you're done at 5 thing and everyone goes to happy hour and celebrates every day or does something to forget that they have a job didn't really jive with me. So I started realizing, okay, how do I solve my own problem first? Which is I am going to get a personal training and nutrition consulting certificate, mm-hmm. build my own business up enough around that so that I could quit my corporate job and have the flexibility and freedom to really start attacking what I really want to do, which is be an investor, right? So once I figured that out, I was like, okay, well, what makes a great investor? What would make me great at age 50 being an angel? Well, that's understanding people and who to invest in and what I can bring to the table. What am I passionate about? And the best investors typically stick to what they know. They're not like, if I have extra cash, I'm not going to go, if I'm in real estate, I'm not just going to throw my extra cash into crypto or vice versa. I'm going to stick to kind of areas that I know, and then I'm going to rely on information from other people and experts to maybe start diversifying. So for myself, I was like, what do I really enjoy doing? And that's storytelling and content and telling other people's stories. So what I started realizing is, what problem can I really solve? So the personal training, nutrition consultation, the reason I'm telling this part of the story is, anybody that's listening, if you're thinking about quitting, you have to solve a need first. And that first need is enough cash for you to survive. So for me, I was like, what is easy enough for me to do? Easy meaning I knew it like the back of my hand. I've been an athlete my whole life. I can train people like on the spot and help them get the results that they want. It's also a need. It wasn't like I'm just going to become a trainer because I'm egotistical and that's my path. A lot of people need help losing weight, gaining strength, getting faster, stronger, pain-free. It's a very big need in the market. The health and wellness market is a $1 trillion industry. So it's coupling your passion with a need first to solve your own need, which is cash flow. I did that. Then I started focusing on what is a bigger problem that companies need help with. And the way that I did this was just go out and talk to people, set meetings off LinkedIn. There was this entrepreneurial app when I first moved to Austin, I forget what it was called, but you would basically have coffee chats with people. And the number one common theme that every business struggled with was content creation and scaling content creation, because they were so focused on the business aspect of like what their business actually was it a service or a product? But then they weren't experts at the content creation. And a lot of what I've noticed is there's a lot of smaller scale agencies and a lot of bigger agencies. There's no like middle ground where you help people kind of learn how to do things on their own so that they can be self-sufficient. And that's the gap that I kind of felt fit, where I was already doing all this media creation for myself and my own personal training, nutrition consulting business. And then eventually it led me to, I started consulting on systems and content generation for multiple different companies. And that's where I was like, wow, I really enjoy sitting down with people and getting on a whiteboard and just helping them solve a problem that they're having. Typically, the number one problem I would see is marketing and scale. And I mean, it's a huge problem everywhere. Reason being is like these bigger companies have hundreds of thousands of dollars a month to throw towards ads. If you don't have that, how do you get your brand out there? How do you get your service or product out there? So solving that equation in a creative, fun, and passionate way where you're storytelling is something that I got obsessed with. And that's where the groundwork was laid. And I'm going to skip to the next part, where today, what that led me to is I have my own podcast. I'm partnered in a media company called How Do You Health, where we are essentially providing media services for the number one client, which is MSW Nutrition, which is the other partner company for us, where it's an IV lounge, supplement lounge. And we're basically hosting Lunch and Learns every week. We do YouTube videos. We do podcasts. We also do courses. And then we help other health entrepreneurs produce their courses on our platform, produce their podcasts on our platform, because a major goal of mine is health and wellness education. And that lounge here in Austin is top notch. Nurse Doza and Baldo started that about 5 years ago. And our long-term goal with it is to be, when you go on Google and ask, like, hey, I have a question about health, how do we show up? Because it's not us telling you how to be healthy. It's a bunch of people that just tell their stories, and then you can pick and choose which one aligns with you. So we're trying to go away from like, we're the doctors or we're the experts. No, you're the expert of your body. We're just trying to provide information that'll help you get to your next level. So that's one of the projects that I work on now. And then I also, my buddy Noah Heisman, him and I own a mobile sauna business where we basically drive up to different retreats and other, I would say other events that are focused on community connection and optimization, health optimization. So we just spun that up this year and we've already done a couple of events and we're looking to scale that. And then on the side, the other endeavors look like I'm a Rhone athlete. So RHO NE. It's basically Athleta for men, I would say, is like, you know, Athleta is women's only clothes, fitness clothes. Roan is that for men. And then also I've worked with Melon, the Melon hat I'm sitting on right now wearing, huge into sports and athletics, where healthy mind, body, and spirit helps you become a better entrepreneur. But at the end of the day, all that is encapsulated in my brand, Thrive on Life. And that started because I was not thriving. Years ago, I was sick and really just didn't want to be alive at times. And then my wife, who I was dating at the time, I was asking her, hey, I think I have something more that I can offer this world. What does that look like? And eventually she helped me come up with the brand Thrive on Life. And our sticker is a heartbeat. I have a heartbeat tattooed all over me. So I have it on my hand, on my arm. Oh. You can't really see it right there. And it's just a reminder to make every heartbeat count. So at the end of the day, I live through my brand Thrive on Life. And that's what connected me to these other brands that and people that I'm blessed to work with and show up for every single day to make a positive impact.
Well, CJ, that is incredible. With everything you do, it just sounds like you're a Renaissance man. Do you sleep at all, or?
I'm actually very obsessed with sleep. So I just put a YouTube video out about how over the past year I've been analyzing my sleep with, I have an Oura ring on right now and a Whoop. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I'm obsessed with sleep is I have celiac disease, and my whole life I've dealt with like digestive and other autoimmune problems. And that's kind of spun up with how I created Thrive on Life, where I've said this on multiple podcasts before, but like I was literally shitting blood and like scared. Like I didn't know what was going on with my body. And this is in my mid 20s when I'm quote unquote supposed to be the healthiest I am as a young male. Yeah. And I was scared. I was losing weight and I didn't know what to do. And I had to drop my ego, read books, and learn, wow, like I thought I was healthy, but some of the practices I was doing was not healthy at all. And one of the number one things that I was sacrificing was my sleep. I would just work. Since I was a little kid, that's all I did. It was just like school, sports, friends, like milk life for what it was. So it was great because I had a ton of experiences, but at what cost? Well, the cost was my health. And now today it looks more like I have a hard stop. I get my 8 hours, but then during the day, like I am going, like I'm going to go 200 miles an hour during the day, but then I have a hard stop and I focus on my recovery practices at night.
Mm, that's fantastic. Yeah. And I mean, just the fact that you had the discipline to be willing to humble yourself and just take the appropriate protocols. I mean, that's fantastic. And now you're thriving. So with your personality and what you've kind of described too, I'm curious, what was maybe like a big, you know, challenge or mistake in the past that you had to overcome personally in your early years of your business? And what were some of the lessons you learned from that?
This is an easy one, saying yes to too many things. So it's an easy thing to answer, but it's not an easy thing to say don't do in the beginning of your journey. And the reason being is like, because I said yes to so many things, I learned what I didn't like and I learned what to say no to. And I wasn't a perfectionist. So that's not in my code to be a perfectionist. I'm more of like, let's throw paint on the wall and see what sticks. But that has a problem in itself. There's always pros and cons of how you approach things. And the con for me was I was saying yes to too many things and it was harming the relationship with the person I care about most, and that's my wife. And it got to a point where I was saying yes to 3 or 4 networking events on weeknights, and then weekends I was hosting classes and events and different things, and I wasn't prioritizing myself or her. And what is the point of entrepreneurship or building a business if I can't prioritize myself and my family? That's what I had to start asking myself. So the hardest thing really was to dial into, okay, now what do I say no to? Because I'm the guy that's like, we always have that FOMO. I always want to be everywhere and be with everyone. But if you try to be everything to everyone, you're nothing to nobody. Something that I tell myself over and over and over again. So I kind of had to start choosing, who do I want to give the fullest me to, and really, really dialing into who that was. And the first person that it is, it's me. And I think a lot of people struggle with that.
Absolutely, yeah. And can you say that quote again? Everything.
If you're everything to everyone, you're nothing to nobody.
That is so true. Yeah, I love that. And
because you're just if you logically think about that, like I was running around giving slivers of myself to everyone, so they weren't really receiving the full me ever.
Mm. Yeah, which is
so I'm not so I'm really nothing to them, but I'm feeling like my ego is feeling satiated, like I'm this person that is giving to so many people, but on the receiving end, they don't even really receive that much.
Yeah.
Because I'm just giving a little bit to everybody rather than saying, who can I give the most to and go deep and narrow? And the first person has to be me. I have to give the best sleep, the best recovery, the best knowledge, the best self-awareness. And then the second person is the one I lay my head next to every night. It's my wife. How do I give her the most attention I could possibly give? And then after that, it's degrees of people that really have earned the fullest me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that a lot. And I mean, through the process, when you figured out, you know, stretching yourself too thin is just catastrophic. For those who might be listening, who might be in maybe a similar circumstance right now, was it just some talks that you had with your wife? Was it just kind of this realization instant moment, and then you started taking appropriate actions? What was kind of the step-by-step play there?
I wish there was a step-by-step playbook, but the way that I move in life, the way that I go, and you could be different. You might be more patient than I am, and you might look before you leap, but I like to break things. And then when things break, I like to put them back together. That's just how I've always been. If you ask my mother, you ask about my family. I was the kid that came home bleeding. I was the kid that, just pushed the limits. In a good way, it was never stupidly. Like I wasn't just, especially in entrepreneurship, I was doing what I thought was best at the time. And I was just so tunnel vision that I couldn't see through a different lens. So it wasn't like I was purposely trying to sabotage. It was just me learning and growing. So I want to make that very clear. So if you're in the stages of your journey where you're trying to dial in to being spread less thin, for me, the only way you know your limit is if you push the limits. And she ended up, my wife ended up pretty much taking her, when we were engaged, taking her ring off and saying like, if you don't change, like we're going to change. And for me, I'm a visual learner, and really seeing that emotion and what life I was building or not building or taking care of, that really changed it for me. I started self-reflecting because the most important thing to me was her, is her. Everything else comes second. And that's when I really looked like she doesn't need me to be this prophet of entrepreneurship, this super successful person that's jet setting everywhere. She needs me to be present. She needs me to be there for her. She needs me to be there for our future family. How does entrepreneurship help me do that better for her, for my family, for myself? So I had the equation wrong. I thought that entrepreneurship was going to unlock one thing, but really, how does entrepreneurship fund the best human being possible? That's how I look at it these days, is how do I leverage this tool that we've been given to make me my best me, so I can be the best husband, future father, brother, son, friend, business partner, not the opposite way around. I was going around like, how do I look like the best of the best to fulfill that ego within me? That competitive nature, because I'm an athlete at heart. I'm competitive. I want to be the best of the best. But as soon as I stopped caring what anybody else saw and only acknowledged, this is a tool. That's all it is. It's not who I am. It became a lot easier to start saying no. And then I stopped spreading myself too thin. I feel better. I show up better. I love podcasts like this where I'm lit up right now. If you can't see me, if you're just listening to this in your car or whatever, but I will do this all damn day. I love this. And I feel like I am able to be lit up by this because now I take a lot better care of myself.
That's fantastic. I feel like you've explained and you've learned like so much, even in your early years, to the point where, you know, sometimes this can maybe take people into their 40s or 50s to learn this. And by that time, you know, sadly, families and relationships may be suffering. So this is fantastic that you've learned about this. I want to go back to your business aspect now. I know you had mentioned your father a little bit, learning from him. He kind of has the entrepreneurial spirit. But who would you say was a mentor that really helped you to begin your quest for business? Was it your father or was there someone else behind the scenes?
I've actually never been asked this question, which is surprising.
Mm.
I don't have necessarily a mentor. The reason being is I went to school for systems engineering, and the number one thing that I learned from that is that systems reap results at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And people are flawed. So for me, it's been tough to attach myself to finding one sole mentor or a couple mentors, because they might be great at one thing, but they don't know my full life. They don't know the intricacies of when I wake up, when I go to sleep, how I'm feeling throughout the day, the conversations I have with the people around me. They're never fully going to see that. So I'm very hesitant to attach myself and my beliefs to specific people. With that being said, everyone is my mentor. I learn from everybody. I learn something from everybody, even those that I disagree with, even those that might not like me. They're my mentors. And one of the things that I kind of live by, and one of the questions that I've asked my clients, especially in the entrepreneurial marketing scene, is I'll ask, like, let's list off some of the best hustlers. Let's say the word hustle. Mm-hmm. Out there. And they'll start ripping off the names like Gary Vee and people like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, homeless people. And you see the shift in their face. Like, where is this going? If you are homeless, every single day, you don't know where you're sleeping, where your food's coming from, where your water's coming from. You don't know.
Yeah.
And entrepreneurship a lot of times can feel like that. And if you can be happy with nothing, you're going to thrive as soon as you get into an environment where you start getting resources and things like that. So that's kind of how the mentality that I have is that I learn from even that person that might not have anything. What can they teach me? And then how do I add that to my armor? And then also beyond that is how do I go and give that to somebody else? Because I think a lot of times we get trapped in, I'm a nobody, I have nothing to offer. And there's the flip side of what I'm saying here is, even if you're homeless, you have something to offer.
Yep.
Even if you're 18 and you feel like you have nothing to offer, you can go help the 16-year-old that's trying to get into college if you got into college too. If you're 16, you can help the 13-year-old. If you're 13, you can help the 10-year-old. If you're 5 years old, you can help your parents, because when you're five, you're filled with joy and curiosity, and you're reminding your parents what it's like to be a kid, right? So we're always constantly collaborating and living in a society where we are helping each other and we don't even realize it. And that's where it's tough for me to label someone as my specific mentor, because every single day I'm learning from this conversation right now. Mm-hmm. And the moment that I just look up to somebody and go and get on my knees and say, oh my God, thank you so much, blah, 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 I lose out on everyone else around me. That's just how I feel. So if you disagree with me, that's okay. But like the way that I've gone about life is looking up to every person that I get to have a conversation with.
Yeah, I love that too. And that comes, I think, mainly too, from the willingness to just be able to listen. Like you said, like you're learning from people of even opposing views, and you know, we know the climate of whatever topic it may be, but usually when there's a class, you just kind of tune out. But taking time to even listen to what they have to say will either help you to see something in a different manifestation, or it will help you to strengthen what it is you already believe and are going after.
You bring up a great point, because this was learned. I want to be very clear. I learned how to be like this. Younger me, 10 years ago me, if you said something that I didn't like, something in my gut would come firing up through my chest. Mm. And then I would have to outbid you or outbattle you in whatever that was.
But
that didn't make, that didn't make my viewpoint sharper. Me yelling, the loudest person in the room usually has the most to learn. And entrepreneurship taught me that. Being around veteran entrepreneurs and seeing how they ask questions, the smartest people in the room, I started realizing, were the ones that waited till the very last minute. They didn't speak, but they asked questions that cut into that person that they were asking. And that person was like left dumbfounded, like, wow, that's an amazing question. I need to go on a whiteboard and figure this out. So going back to the original conversation of I want to be an angel investor, that was a learned trait because I started seeing better questions lead to better results. It's not better answers lead to better results, better questions. Because if we go back in time, Thomas Edison, how many times did he fail to create the lights that you see right behind me?
It's like thousands.
Over and over and over again. So what he did was he would ask a question every time that failed. Here's the hypothesis. Why did this happen? And then he would iterate. Entrepreneurship does that to you naturally. Then I started learning, how can I have this in all areas of my life? So when I go out to dinner with somebody, even if I don't agree with them or if they live a different lifestyle than me, if I'm still going to this dinner, I might as well say, you know what? What can I get out of this? And what can I give out of this?
Yeah, that's it right there. I love that perspective. And so just the fact that you're learning from everyone, I mean, I think that's a mindset we all need to have. And at the very beginning, you had mentioned too that you don't have one specific mentor. And I think to quote you, you said just they don't know your life or your routines. I'm a little bit curious about that. What are some of your daily rituals that you do every day? Maybe you can walk us through your morning routine. What helps you get going to really thrive and tackle the day?
Yeah, so I always hesitate to answer this question in a specific way because my goal is always to challenge you to figure out what works for you. So The number one thing that I could say that you could do is analyze your constraints. Do you have kids? Are you married? Are you single? What does your job require of you? And then build your constraints around that first. So there's an easy solution to this. Make a pie chart of your life. How is your time right now? Like literally, we have 24 hours in a day. That is a factual statement right there. If you're trying to sleep 8 hours a day like I am, now you only have 16, right? And the in-between time of getting up, maybe you drink coffee, you're brushing your teeth, you're getting changed, that's probably 30 minutes to a half an hour in the morning and at night. So now you only have 15 hours. And then how many hours do you spend eating each day? Maybe 1 to 2 hours. So let's say 2 hours. You're like eating or scrolling on your phone or doing whatever. Now you only have 13 hours. So you see how it's dwindling down.
Yeah.
How do you want to spend those hours? Now, the next thing is, okay, what areas of the life do you want to spend them on? So for me, I look at, I want to spend time on me. So whether that's reading, working out, recovering, so sauna, ice, massage, different things, right? Mm-hmm. That's for me. Then the second thing would be for my wife. Every single day, what time do I have to invest into her to keep our relationship the way that I wish for it to be? Third thing I would say is your education. You need to be educating yourself every day. So what are you doing to educate yourself every day? So you start by creating this life that you want, and then you cross-reference it with how you are actually showing up right now. And that will tell you what you should be doing with your hours in a day. If you want to sleep 10 hours a day and that's what you want to do with your life, great. If you feel great doing that, go ahead and do that. If you can get by on 6 hours, I cannot. I feel like shit. My training is terrible. I don't show up well. My brain is foggy. I cannot do that.
Yeah.
That's on you, right? But just know that we all live by the same 24 hours. So you have no choice. If you're doing 10-hour sleeps every night and you're not getting the most out of your life and you can feel it, maybe you got to sleep 9 hours. Mm. And if you're sleeping 6 hours and you're feeling terrible and your business isn't going the way that it should, it doesn't mean you should sleep less. It means that maybe, you know what, let's take the foot off the gas, sleep a little bit more, and then adjust my hours somewhere else. What does that look like in my life specifically? probably waking up 6:30 to 7 every day. First thing I do is write. I write a daily newsletter. So if you're interested in that, cjfinley.com, very easy to sign up. It's health, wealth, happiness. I write whatever is top of mind coming to my head, and I guarantee you it's going to motivate you to kick some ass that day that you read it. So that's the first thing I do. I find that writing is really helpful when you first wake up to kind of just get the cobwebs out and get going, taking messy action early on. Next thing I would say, I go right into probably a deep work session for an hour or two. I do my first training session, hybrid typically. So it's either running or a variation of cardio and strength training in the morning. That's probably going to happen around in between 8:39 and 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Come back, have my first meal. So I fast till about 11, have my first meal. Then I go into another deep work session from, I'd say 11 or 12 to like 3 or 4, go back to the gym for my second session. So I either lift and then do recovery, which would be sauna ice, or I just do recovery, come home. I eat dinner by 5:30 or 6. And this is very much intentional because I found through my Oura Ring and my Whoop that if I eat later than like 6:30 PM, my heart rate is too high going into my sleep and I don't recover as well. So I try to eat within 4 hours of sleep. And then after I eat, it's probably another work session where I am setting myself up for success the next day. I try to shut my laptop and everything down by 8:30. And that's where I spend the most amount of time with my wife. So we'll go over the day. We will relax, sometimes watch a movie. It's different. In our lifestyle, it's different every day. But I would say that's the general structure of how I align my day. And I'm also very good at, I mean, today, right? This is typically a deep work session. Well, that could also mean I'm on a podcast or I'm hosting my own podcast. So it looks different every day. Mm-hmm. I find that that's what works for me, is having a general structure and then adapting day over day and not feeling the anxiety when you have to adapt. If it's too rigid for me, in my eyes, I'm like, what's the point of life of living by a rigid schedule? Other people, Jocko Willink types, discipline equals freedom, right? That's what he says. To me, I'm disciplined in a lot of different ways, but I find that the joy of life really is in those moments that you least expected. So I leave room for less rigidity and more fluidity, and that's what works for me. So again, I highly recommend going back to the pie chart and figuring out what do you want from your life and what does your life look right now, and then aligning them. And the last thing I'll hit home on, and I'll do this really quick because I've been going for a little bit here, is
no, it's good stuff.
The way that I align it is with the acronym THRIVE: time, health, relationships, income, vision, experiences. So I look at my time. How am I spending that? How do I want to spend that? I look at my health. Where's my health at? What are my health goals? How are my relationships? What do they look like? Which ones do I want to improve? Which ones do I want to let go of? My income. So most people sacrifice time, health, and relationships to raise their income, but they don't realize that to really raise your income and become wealthy in life, you have to invest your time into your health and your relationships. So that's true. How you're really going to raise your income. So that's where we came up with that. And then your vision and experiences is most people are walking through in life ambiguous to their vision or the experiences that they want to have. And ambiguity leads to anxiety. Anxiety is reduced when we're clear. So if you're clear on where you want to spend your time, health, relationships, income, the visions you want to achieve, and the experiences you want to have, you're crystal clear on those and you align that pie chart, every day feels like a video game. You're like, wow, I'm just checking off like everything I've ever wanted to do, and I feel great. I'm showing up great. And there's an old quote that's like, you look good, you feel good, you feel good, you play good, they pay good.
I like that. I love that.
That's kind of like how I look at things.
Yeah. Well, you just sent us a wealth of information. Yeah. I would definitely encourage all the listeners too, to take CJ up on his advice. Again, go through the THRIVE acronym probably as they're setting up the pie chart. I'm sure that'll be a great layout to be able to orchestrate where they want to put their time, where it needs to be changed and adjusted. So you definitely provided some wonderful advice. So thank you for that, CJ.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share it. It's been helpful for me because over the years, like, again, I just been like running into things and trying to figure out like, how do I optimize? I love to optimize my life and get the most out of life. That's really what Thrive on Life is all about. Making every heartbeat count. The only way that I do that is if I'm clear on like, what does that even mean? Right. So that's where that acronym and like the pie charts really help you visualize. I'm a visual learner. Mm-hmm. Any visual learners out there, if you can't visualize, and here's some vulnerability. The reason I have to be visual is because I have to be able to see my mistakes, and I have to be able to see my mistakes so I can say no to them in the future. Mm. A great example is I don't drink anymore. I don't drink alcohol.
Well, good for you.
And I used to be a heavy drinker, and I would go to the doctor and be like, oh, I'm in this pain or this is happening. But I would always leave out how much I was drinking. They would ask, and I would say, you know, the usual for a college student. But I knew deep down that I wasn't a usual college student. I had something wrong with me, but I would always leave that out. So today I'm very vulnerable with myself, and that's what the pie charts help with. Like, when you do this, do not lie to yourself. If you're spending like this, is, open your phone up right now and look how much time you spend on your phone every day. It will shock you.
Yeah, I bet.
And how does that align with your pie chart? Cross-reference them. And then visually, when you find yourself on your phone, you're going to be like, what the fuck am I doing? Mm. Like, now you have a cue to say, you know what? This phone right here, I don't need it. It doesn't align with the goals that I have set on my chart.
I love that.
Before that, you just get lost because you have no clarity.
Yeah. And it's easy to get sucked in that routine of just always checking the phone. But I love how you said you need to cross-reference and just be serious about it. There's no sugarcoating.
The smartest people in the world have worked on these phones to get you addicted to them. So don't feel guilty that you're scrolling. So that's the other thing, is just like, I don't have guilt. Like, everything that happened in my past happened. It's gone. I can't do anything about it, but I can deal with what is right now. And right now is I can choose to pick the phone up or I can choose to put the phone down. And I'm like, okay, well, I spent a lot of time on the phone because there's people on the other end of this phone that have worked relentlessly to try and get me to hold on to this thing. So I'm not going to feel guilty about it. It's just like sugar. The US puts sugar in everything because it wants you to eat more of it.
Yeah.
The guilt shouldn't come from the eating of it. The guilt should come from not being able to stop eating it and not making the decision to stop. And that's where creating systems, like I mentioned, to stop yourself is really what is the key to long-term success.
Yeah, that's such an important differentiation. So CG, I have just a last few, a couple questions for you. Who would you say is your company's ideal best client, and why would they choose you over all the other available options that they have?
So this is a tough question to answer because there's so many different types that of people that I integrate myself with. But
yeah,
I would say I'll put into three parts. There's three things. There's the podcast that I create. If you're somebody that's a mission-driven person, meaning that you want to make meaning out of your life and you want to learn from other people who are doing the same. So we have other entrepreneurs, coaches, business owners, corporate employees that are making the most of their corporate jobs. They come on my podcast, Thrive on Life podcast, and they share their story in hopes to help you take action on your next step. So if you're that type of person, go check the podcast out. And we do a pretty good job. Shout out to Jake Allen, who helps me with this, of researching different keywords and titles to help you understand right from the get-go, like, is that episode for you or not? Second thing is, if you're located here in Austin, Texas, every Friday, we do a health lunch and learn at MSW Lounge. And what that consists of is, like, tomorrow we're doing blood work, why you should get your blood work done, and going through the different panels that each test will tell you. And then based on that test, your results, what supplements, if you're lacking in different nutrients, what supplements you should be taking to make sure that you don't lack the vitamins and minerals that you need. If your body lacks the vitamins and minerals that you need, it's setting yourself up to have a chronic illness. Well, it's setting yourself up for inflammation. Inflammation creates chronic illness. Chronic illness creates disease. Disease causes death. So we're trying to stop obviously disease and death and prevent chronic illness so that it never gets to that point. And the first way to do that is go check your blood work at MSW Lounge. You can just go to mswlounge.com and find that. I work closely on the media side of that. So like yesterday we put out a video on the three types of panels you should be doing in 2022, adrenals and hormones and things like that, your sugar. So is your glucose high, low? What is that looking like? Things of that nature. The third thing is if you are somebody that loves to do sauna, ice, other recovery modalities, please just get in contact with myself. Or again, if you're in Austin, Texas, come over to Squatch Frontier Fitness, huge community of people that are entrepreneurs, community leaders, business owners that are trying to level themselves up. And we're all about helping each other thrive. So rising tides lift all ships. Again, you can either go to Squatch Frontier Fitness, reach out to me for sauna and ice. We have a mobile sauna called the Oasis Sauna. But the easiest way to see any of this and all of this going on is just Instagram at cj.finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y. You'll see everything that we've been working on. So again, kind of a tough question for me to answer, but I'm really just all about pointing people in the right direction. So if you have a question, DM me, I'd love to help.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, based upon this whole interview and podcast, I'm sure we'll get some of our listeners checking you out because you definitely provided a lot of value today. So thank you, CJ.
Thank you again. This was a blast.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking with CJ Finley with Thrive on Life podcast. And once more, could you just say where they can contact and find you, CJ?
Best way is on Instagram at CJ.finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y, and listen to the Thrive on Life podcast either on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, or all other major hosting platforms.
Wonderful. Thank you for appearing on the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Tiger Performance Podcast. We'll see you again next time, and be sure to click subscribe to get the future episodes.